This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, number 1293. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded November 9th, Kenneth Tomlinson resigns and under investigation. More seasonal changes, including new schedules for Serbia, Lithuania, Belarus, Greece, India, and several target broadcasts. Ernst Zundel goes on trial. Mystery tones on 1610 and the propagation outlook. The new B05 shortwave broadcasting season is well underway, but as of November 9th, the HFCC schedule had still not been posted. That's the High Frequency Coordinating Committee. It should be out shortly. Keep checking their website, www.hfcc.org. Go to the public data section and look for the B05 schedule. It'll be a zipped file and, like its predecessors, admittedly incomplete, I think with hundreds and hundreds of entries missing because some administrations do not wish their info on shortwave scheduling to be made public, even though the purpose of shortwave broadcasting is to serve the public. Fortunately, there are some private efforts to put together the new schedules. Notably, IB, Eike Bierwirth in Germany, is compiling his B05 schedules. You'll find links to them at www.eibi.de.vu. The current schedules are somewhere around 80% complete, mainly in time order, but also there will be one in frequency order, a very handy reference. And the Nagoya DX Circle in Japan is also doing this independently, and they've put up their B05 frequency list in another zipped file, and it also contains some old entries which have not been replaced. www.starcat.ne.jp/NDXC. Thanks to prompting by Thomas Moyer in Ontario, the U.S. FCC put up the B05 schedules for private U.S. shortwave stations on November 7th. Looking through it, we've found some items of interest. WMLK in Pennsylvania continues to show on two unused frequencies, 9955 and 15265. Well, it's really only on 9265 so far. WRNO is no longer reserving 7355 for its long-delayed revival, but instead 7395 from 22 to 16 and 15420 between 16 and 23. WWBS in Macon, Georgia, which has been off the air since its owner died several years ago, continues to appear on the schedules. So I guess there's some chance it may come back, but they only want to be on the air 4 hours a week, UT Saturday and Sunday at midnight to 2 on 11900. Another inactive station is still on the schedule, WJIE. One frequency and one only shows in the traditional 41-meter band, and that's by KSDA Guam 7150. KTWR Guam dips into the aeronautical band. 15070 is shown, but only for half an hour, 0815 UT, to see, I guess, if there are any objections. I wonder if it's okay with Alpha Lima International. Wolfgang Guschel points out that besides the 250-kilowatt transmitters of World Harvest Radio, two of them in South Carolina and one in Maine, additional 100-kilowatt units are shown at each of those sites. Now, these would be the old transmitters from Indiana, which they've been moving to the other two sites, but they do not seem to be active, at least not on a full-time basis, although 24 hours of scheduling have been registered. Nothing on the World Harvest Radio webpages about any Angel 6 or 7. Jeff White of WRMI was happy to report that following Hurricane Wilma damage, they were able to get 9955 back on the air Sunday, November 6th at 23 UT. That's the service to Latin America, but it would take longer for 7385 to North America because of greater damage to that antenna. On November 3rd, Kenneth Tomlinson resigned from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Coincidentally, there was an Inspector General report about his activities there and at the Broadcasting Board of Governors. There's been a lot of press about this in broadcasting and cable, New York Times, Washington Post, Financial Times, via Claire Lissenspreken, Richard Cuff, Mike Cooper. The Washington Post story starts, Kenneth Y. Tomlinson, who sparked controversy by asserting that programs carried by public broadcasters have a liberal bias, resigned from the board of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting a day after the agency's inspector general delivered a report apparently critical of his leadership. And here's part of a New York Times story of November 5th by Stephen Labaton via Mike Cooper and Philip Dampier following up on this. Kenneth Tomlinson, head of the federal agency overseeing most government broadcasts to foreign countries, including VOA and RFE, is the subject of an inquiry into accusations of misuse of federal money and the use of phantom or unqualified employees, said officials involved in the examination. Tomlinson was ousted from the board of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting after its inspector general concluded an investigation critical of him that looked at his efforts as chairman to seek more conservative programs on public radio and TV. But Tomlinson remains an important official as the chairman of the Broadcasting Board of Governors. The board, whose members include Secretary of State, plays a central role in public diplomacy. The board has been troubled lately over deep internal divisions and criticism of its Middle East broadcasts. Members of the Arab news media have said its broadcasts are American propaganda. In recent weeks, State Department investigators have seized records and email from the Broadcasting Board of Governors. They shared some material with the IG at the corporation, including traffic between Tomlinson and White House officials, including Karl Rove. He and Tomlinson became friends in the 90s when they served on the Board for International Broadcasting, as it was then known. Al Hurra, the Arabic-language satellite TV network set up by the Board of Governors, was also being examined by the IG for possibly problematic procurement practices. AFGE Local 1812 refers to a Financial Times story which says the House of Representatives Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigation would hold a hearing on November 10th in which Chairman Tomlinson and Al Hurra News Director Muafak Harb have been called to testify. Kim Andrew Elliott's column in the November NASA Journal has a modest proposal. Perhaps the solution would be to give the Associated Press a 5-year contract to govern U.S. international broadcasting. The AP is a cooperative of newspapers and other news organizations whose ownerships represent the spectrum from Republican to Democrat, conservative to liberal. It is also the largest news gathering organization in the world whose resources would allow U.S. international broadcasting to be competitive with BBC World Service and BBC World. The AP might balk at being associated with what many misperceive as a U.S. propaganda operation. The contract would be for 5 years with no kibitzing by the government during that period. At the end of the 5 years, if the AP or the government or both is not satisfied, it would end. Last week, we reported that AFRDS had backed out of an agreement to add a progressive voice to its list of talk show hosts, Ed Schultz. Now that deal seems to be on again. I listened for a good many minutes to a rather confusing debate on the Senate floor about the issue of liberal versus conservative programming on AFRTS, with our erstwhile Oklahoma senator on the wrong side. Some reports as of November 8th via Kevin Redding say, weeks after nixing that agreement, Armed Forces Radio says it will in fact carry Ed Schultz, increasingly popular radio talk show, after all. That's according to Joe Gandelman at themoderatevoice.com, also reported by Dick Kreck at the Denver Post. Well, we'll believe it when we hear it, but we may not be hearing it on certain SSB frequencies. Brock Whaley in Georgia notes on November 8th, I've not heard AFRTS for about a month now on 5446.5, 7811, or 12133.5. Some of those frequencies were in the Florida Keys, so they might have been blown off the air, although you never know as they come and go unpredictably. On the AMFM TVDX at QTH.net list, Sean Axelrod in Manitoba says the boys from CJML in Winnipeg are back on the air from November 6th, 99 watts with a long wire on 580. Schedule is 13 to 04 UT with nostalgic music and radio programs from the 40s and 50s. This session will last until November 26th. Morris Sorensen, ABDX, also in Winnipeg, says this is commemorating Remembrance Day or Veterans Day. Now, this is quite a DX target. I recall a number of hot DXers tried for it in previous occasions to pick it up by Skywave at a distance, but I don't think anybody managed to. Tim Hendel reports a new language on HCJB. It's an Indian language spoken in northern Brazil called Kulina, K-U-L-I-N-A. It's on the schedule every day, but for only 10 minutes at 2250 UT on 12020, the frequency which goes into Portuguese at 2300. However, Tim Hendel was monitoring this. He's very interested in exotic languages. Early in November, Tim found the carrier came on at 2250, but the interval signal did not start until 2255, opening in Portuguese at 2256, and then chatting and talk in this language lasting perhaps only 3 minutes, perhaps the shortest international service on shortwave. I believe we mentioned recently Radio Bella, B-E-L-L-A, Tingo Maria, Peru, on 4299.69. Bjorn Malm in Ecuador has been monitoring it. He says it now has regular transmissions with music and greetings, and of course he has a clip of it on his website, www.malm-ecuador.com. He heard it at 1000 UT, for example, and also presents some background on the name. Tingo Maria is at one of the entrances to the Amazon basin. Tingo means union, the union of two rivers, the Huallaga and the Monzon. Maria, of course, the name of a woman who used to live there. But she is also called La Bella Durmiente, the Sleeping Beauty, because there's a mountain range which looks like a woman lying on her back with an Inca crown on her head. So that's why the station is called Radio Bella, meaning beautiful. Argentina has a number of X-band stations above 1600 kHz, most of them unlicensed, and here's a new one reported in the Conexión Digital list. It's on 1670, based at the Escuela Científica Basilio, which appears to be some kind of cult. They have a website mentioning the radio station, www.basilio.org.ar. Reported by Marcelo Cornaccioni, who adds that this reminds him of Aum Shinrikyo, the notorious Japanese cult. Thanks to astute monitoring by Dave Kenny in the UK, Bernie O'Shea in Ontario, and Wolfgang Büschel in Germany, we can now confirm that BBC Calling the Falklands does still exist, and it's on 11680, Tuesdays and Fridays only for 14 and a half minutes at 2130 UT. We can't really hear it over here, anything more than a carrier, because of another BBC transmission from French Guiana on 11675. Sometimes one must wonder whether frequency managers are paying attention or really understand what they're dealing with. With the new season, we find some odd conflicts. BBC in Spanish on 6110, I heard at midnight 3 UT with a severe echo. No, it's not a long path echo, but in the Merlin schedules, they even admit to using two transmitters at the same time on the same frequency, Ascension and French Guiana. While it's laudable to conserve frequencies this way, it's also necessary to be sure the audio is synchronized. A similar situation was monitored by Roger Chambers in New York on 11655, Radio Netherlands, both from Flevo and Madagascar at the same time, with a delay of about 2 seconds at 19 UT, November 5th. As we mentioned before, Flevo was substituting for Madagascar due to power shortages on the island. However, you'd think the two stations would keep in contact to sort out which of them will be on the air at any moment. Actually, Radio Netherlands has greater problems. They're undergoing a major structural reorganization, meaning some people are losing their jobs and others are being moved to different jobs. Amsterdam Forum, now on Sundays, occupying almost a full hour from Radio Netherlands, looks interesting. On the second Sunday in November, 13th, the subject is religion bad for society? Standard disclaimer, the media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, number 1293, from P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK73702 USA, or WORADIO at yahoo.com. Our thanks this week for financial support via PayPal go to Dennis Seivert in Illinois. Mike Cooper in Georgia, who listens a lot to broadcasts from France, tells DX Listening Digest there have been slight changes in the style of presentation of RFI's 24-hour service in French. An urgent-sounding, repetitive news theme has been replaced with a more melodic, gentler theme with some piano. The top of the hour starts with a minute-long tease of what programming will fill the rest of the half hour after the news. There also seems to be more of an effort to emphasize specific world regions at the start of relevant half hours. The printed schedule indicates some periods were dedicated to Asian or American news. It was not really highlighted on the air as much as it is now. I was surprised to hear Radio Vaticano in Spanish on a new frequency and a new time, 1600 UT on 9885. This went on for almost half an hour, but it's not really Vatican. It's WEWN Alabama on its new frequency, and they relay Vatican Radio in Spanish. Checking their schedule, they do this Monday through Friday only, for half an hour at 16 on 9885 and 15745, and also the evening broadcast at 22 UT on supposedly the same frequencies. I don't know if this is anything new, but I was not aware that EWTN was actually relaying Vatican Radio, and they are not doing it in English according to their schedule. Meanwhile, Artie Bigley sends a story from CW News. A new director general has been appointed to head Vatican Radio. Father Federico Lombardi, S.J., replaces his Jesuit colleague Pasquale Borgomeo, who headed the operation for more than 20 years. Lombardi had been programming director for a sesquidecade already. The outgoing director is 72 and was among those sentenced to 10 days in jail for electronic pollution, which is being appealed. Jose Miguel Romero in Spain found the updated B05 schedule of Radio Serbia and Montenegro. The times have shifted, but they're still very much limited to only two frequencies, and only from 1845 to 22 UT, including a half hour in English, now at 1930 on 6100. I reported last time having discovered an unscheduled relay in English of Radio Prague at 04 UT on 6100. I thought it was Sackville, but now I know it is, because listening again there was a brief RCI ISNID before it started. I don't know why they don't just add it to their online schedule, but I wrote to the station, and David Vaughn, editor-in-chief, replied, "We are aware of the relay, but it was confirmed too late to get into our frequency schedule. We're trying to promote it via our website and in our broadcasts. I'm delighted it provides good reception." At the same time, Wolfgang Büschel was asking Oldrich Cheap, the frequency manager of Radio Prague, about it, and he replied, "It is experimental for Central and Western North America." Kai Ludwig in Germany reports that Holocaust denier Ernst Sundel finally went on trial on November 8th in Germany after having been deported there. There were stories about this at Deutsche Welle News and at BBC News, neither of which mentioned that he used to broadcast on shortwave from the U.S. The case was delayed as soon as it started when the judge dismissed a member of Ernst Sundel's defense team for having a racist conviction. The judge ruled that a new public defender should be appointed, and the trial will resume on November 15th. Bert Truten now gives the English schedule for Radio Vilnius in Lithuania, 2330 UT to North America on 7325 and at midnight 30 on 9875. However, Bob Thomas in Connecticut says reception of both is absolutely terrible. Mike Berkloff found the complicated current schedule for English from radio station Belarus on its website. Here we go. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for half an hour at 0300. On Sunday, it's at 0330. The earlier broadcast for Europe at 2030 is on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and at 2200 on Sunday. As for the frequencies, the European broadcast on 1170, 7125, 7340, and 7440, while the North American at 5970, 6155, and 7210. John Babas in Maryland has been analyzing Voice of Greece schedules closely, as well as monitoring, and put together these English times. There are not very many. Daily at 19:30 to 20 to Europe on 7430. The others are only one day a week. Sundays at 11:05 to 12 to Europe. That's the music program. It's all Greek to me. 12:105, 15:630, and 17:525. And the interview show, Helene's Around the World, Saturdays at 15 to 16 to Europe, 9:420, 12:105, and 15:630 to North America via Delano 9775. Liz Cameron in Michigan opines, Radio Macedonias 7450 was heard at 22:50 with the national anthem, a very good signal. It's heard after 2200 UT, often better than the Voice of Greece, and often with better music. Apparently it was signing off at 2250 instead of 2350 as it used to do during the winter season. By the way, John Babas has translated a Voice of Greece program schedule, so we know the equivalent titles in English of its Greek programming that appears in DX Listening Digest 5191 via worldofradio.com. I've been hearing Star Radio Liberia opening at 0700 UT in English on 9525 via Ascension. It seems it's getting some negative reaction back in Liberia. AllAfrica.com had a story about this via Artie Bigley, which says Star Radio is not a mouthpiece for the Unity Party, as being alleged by the Plain Truth newspaper. Star Radio has never and never will be a mouthpiece for any party, group, or individual, says a release by the station. Another target broadcast, or we could even call it clandestine, is getting some negative reaction in its home country, Radio Free Southern Cameroon. From the Unrepresented Nations and Peoples Organization post online via the Media Network blog, Chief Ayamba Ete Otun, chairman of the mainstream faction of the Southern Cameroon's National Council, was rearrested soon after his release from detention. It's suspected his rearrest could be linked to the broadcast Radio Free Southern Cameroon's launched on 30 October. Bottom line seems to be that this English-speaking portion of Cameroon wants to secede from the rest of the country. Cameroon was, after all, one of those countries put together from different colonial elements. Meanwhile, the second weekly broadcast of Radio Free Southern Cameroon's was heard by a number of our monitors Sunday, November 6th at 18 to 19 UT on 12:130 via Russia, although they started a few minutes late. Thanks to Jose Miguel Romero in Spain, Jari Savolainen in Finland, Wade Smith in New Brunswick, Idun Ritz in Denmark, and Jean-Michel Aubier in France. Some target broadcasts for Sudan, new schedules via Observer Bulgaria, Radio Nile, which is in Arabic and English via Madagascar, have been half an hour, but now it's a full hour at 04 UT, but only four nights a week, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, on 12:060 and 15:320. One of the broadcasts of the Sudan radio service, via Wolverton, UK, has changed frequency. The hour Monday through Friday at 17 UT has moved from 11:715 to 11:705. Unfortunately, that's exactly the hour when 11:705 is now used by Voice of the People from Madagascar to Zimbabwe. In DSWCI, DX Window, Anker Peterson in Denmark reports that some direction finding was done on the 18727 frequency of information radio operated by U.S. forces in Iraq. This was on October 25th. However, it was only done from one angle, so there was no fix. The line went through Adana, central Turkey, through westernmost Iraq, through Tumrait Oman and Diego Garcia. Swapan Chakraborty in Kolkata, India, laments that KBS World Radio in South Korea, according to its B05 schedule, has discontinued the 16 UT English transmission toward Africa and South Asia. He says its frequency was the only one audible at a convenient time. And he can't understand why they did it, because they were getting maximum feedback and quiz entries from India and Bangladesh. Ron Howard in California reports a new time and frequency for radio station Pacific Ocean from Vladivostok, 0935 to 10 UT on 5960. Bertrude now says they're also supposed to be heard on 7330 from November 10th until 17th. Via DX Window, Harald Kuhl in Germany reports that a couple of maritime frequencies in the Philippines are believed to relay news from broadcast stations at 2300 UT. Check 17260 for Manila Radio on USB, call sign DZH, and 17366 Bulacan Manila Bay Radio on USB, DZK. On November 4th, Barry Hartley in New Zealand found Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation reactivated on 9545 at 09 UT, but causing heavy interference to Deutsche Welle. They have a second transmitter they're supposedly bringing back online. However, he was not able to hear it again in several subsequent checks. It was parallel to 5020. The Palmyra de-expedition is underway, according to OPDX, via Dave Raycroft, ODXA. Until Saturday, November 19th, their two operators, SSB, used by Mike, Kilo Hotel 6, November Delta, slant 5, 80 through 10 meters, maybe also 160. David Cole in Oklahoma heard WWL 870 announce November 3rd that the Cooperative United Radio Broadcasters of New Orleans broadcast would be coming to an end the following weekend. This was confirmed in a story he found in Billboard Radio Monitor as of November 7th. Also, monitoring 870, John Wesley Smith in Missouri says WWL on Friday evening, November 4th, announced that Clear Channel was breaking away from the continuous simulcasts and intercom would be on their own as of November 5th. Eric Berger in Michigan told us about hearing a tone test on 1610 kilohertz. The evening of November 7th, and then also reported by many other listeners throughout eastern North America. They tried to get a fix on it, but there were no IDs forthcoming, at least not yet. Speculation it could be an experimental transmission, such as station WC2XKX in North Carolina. And a number of listeners were able to hear it well after sunrise, including Brock Whaley in Georgia. Since I began recording, I've heard again from Jeff White at WRMI the afternoon of November 9th. He says we still haven't got the 7385 antenna ready, but it may be ready by late on the 10th. Certainly before the weekend, providing there are no further complications, I can't wait. Well, Jeff, neither can I, because that means World of Radio will again be heard on WRMI, but with the times shifted for the winter to Saturday at 22 UT, Sunday at 0930, and at 1500, all on 7385. By the way, the second weekend in November, you should also hear some new Spanish DX news from me on Radio Enlace from Radio Netherlands on their Friday and Sunday broadcasts in the UT Saturday and Monday. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued November 8th, solar activity very low to low, geomagnetic field quiet to minor storm levels. ANK indices peaking at 20 and 4 on November 11th, 21st, 30th, and December 1st, dipping to 5 and 2 November 17th to 19th. Solar flux dropping to 75 November 11th through 23rd, and then back up to 80. This has been the 1293rd World of Radio, Glenn Hauser in Oklahoma, inviting you back next week.